And the gospel reading for this first Sunday of Advent is Luke 21, 25 to 36. And you guys up there can try and follow with me, except I'm going to also read it. As you watch the NRSV, you can do that. I'm going to read it to you from Eugene Peterson's The Message. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says this: "It will seem like all hell is broken loose. Sun, moon, stars, earth, sea, and an uproar, and everyone all over the world in a panic. The wind knocked out of them by the threat of doom. The powers that be quaking. And then they'll see the Son of Man welcomed in grand style, a glorious welcome. When all this starts to happen, stand up on your feet. Stand tall with your heads high. Help is on the way." And then he told them a story. "Look at a fig tree. Any tree for that matter. When the leaves begin to show, one look tells you that summer is right around the corner. The same here. When you see these things happen, you know God's kingdom is about here. Don't brush this off. I'm not just saying this for some future generation, but for yours too. These things will happen. Sky and earth will wear out. My words won't wear out. But be on your guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by partying and drinking and shopping. Otherwise, that day is going to take you by complete surprise, spring on you suddenly like a trap. For it's going to come, and everyone everywhere at once will experience it. So whatever you do, don't go to sleep at the switch. Pray constantly that you will have the strength and wits to make it through everything that's coming and end up on your feet before the Son of Man."
Tidings of comfort and joy.
God, from heaven, the Lord, Heavenly Father, a blessed angel.
Time.
Good afternoon. A Scrooge and Marley's, I believe. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley has been dead these 7 years. He died 7 years ago, this very night.
Oh. Well, we have no doubt that his generosity is well represented by his surviving partner. At this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, it is more than usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and the destitute. Many thousands are in want of common comfort, sir.
Are there no prisons?
Prisons? Yes, plenty of prisons.
And the union workhouses, are they still in operation?
They are. I wish I could say they were not.
The treadmill in full vigor?
Very busy, sir.
Good. I was afraid something had occurred to stop them in their useful course.
Yes, at this festive season, a few of us are endeavoring to raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. What shall we put you down for?
Nothing.
Oh, you wish to remain anonymous?
I wish to be left alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. I support the establishments I have mentioned. Those who are badly off must go there.
Many cannot go there. And, well, frankly, many would rather die.
Then they had better do it and decrease the surplus population. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Oh.
Ebenezer Scrooge, as that door begins to open, is on the verge of a radical breakthrough to connect what he's forgotten in his past with what he's missing in the present, with what will happen in the future if he doesn't change. Now, when you see these things begin to take place, Jesus says, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. And with those traditional words of Advent before us, we join Ebenezer Scrooge because, like him, when you experience all hell about to break loose, you are on the verge of a breakthrough. A spiritual breakthrough, a breakthrough of consciousness, an awakening, if you will, a redemption. Do you know what redemption means? It means to be bought back from slavery. And in Jesus' times, you could end up a slave due to your financial circumstances until you could pay, somebody could pay you off your debt. You know? And so that's what would happen. Someone had to buy you back from slavery to set you free. But the thing is, Ebenezer Scrooge didn't even know how enslaved he was. Hiding out in his counting house, rattling around his dead partner Jacob Marley's old house, you know, locking himself in there, missing the joy of Christmas on the streets, you notice that? Missing the opportunity to see that wealth is for sharing, as these men came to his office, invited him to. Missing out on the fact that our attitudes and our actions now determine how things turn out later. In Charles Dickens' day, in fact, in the mid-1800s in England, the rich and the poor were enslaved. The new poor laws had been enacted in the 1830s that actually made it, believe it or not, a crime to be poor. And so Charles Dickens' middle-class family actually fell victim to these poor laws when his father lost his job as a secretary in the Navy office, and he was unable to pay his debts, so they threw him into debtor's prison. And the family was broken up. Now, Charles Dickens did not go to prison because he had a job in a glue factory, and his oldest sister, Fanny, had been paid for to go to school already, so they were out. But the rest of the family, mom and the rest of the kids, were split up. Some of the children were sent to ragged schools, they're called, and Dickens visited one of these one day and was horrified that there was not even an outhouse in the place. It was just the most horrible place. And the mom and everybody all sent to these poor houses till the family debts were paid off. They were more lucky than some, the Dickens family, though, because somebody, apparently, some benefactor, paid off their debts and set them free from prison. So that is how literally the poor were enslaved in England in Dickens' time. Now, at the same time, how were the rich enslaved? Well, like Ebenezer. Protecting what they had, they maintained this judgmental attitude toward those who had not as much. And what they would do, they would spend a lot of time and money just to protect themselves from poor people. They'd build up higher walls around their establishments so that these poor folks could not threaten their lives, because many of them, in their despair, became thieves and criminals. Terrorists of sorts in that culture. And so these rich folks were enslaved as well. Rich and poor enslaved. You know, the church was enslaved too. Dickens wrote this this Christmas carol to tweak the nose of the church as well as other people. Because the church, you know, in the church, they'd said, well, even though the official stance was that while poverty was a crime, well, maybe it's not a crime, the church said, but it certainly is a sin. It's a sign of your lazy and shiftless life. And so, but the church actually ran these poor houses as charities, and as they were serving these people who were poor, they were looking down at their noses, at the objects of their charity. You get my point here? And in the meantime, there were models of Christian life, yes, in the English society, among the rich and the poor, like the Cratchit family, right? Always grateful for what God gave them. And Scrooge's nephew Fred, for instance, somebody like him, and the businessmen who believed in generosity and toward those who were less fortunate. The rest of the rich and poor, in Dickens' view, all enslaved, stuck in the system together, all in need of redeeming. So he wrote this story that both entertains us and haunts us as well, doesn't it? A story so simple and yet so profound that we wanted to share it with you this Advent season as the focus of our Advent worship. And you know, oftentimes we're not even aware of how enslaved we have become. Enslaved by what threatens us, enslaved by our stuff, enslaved by our self-centeredness, enslaved by our careers or our goals for our kids, things like that, to the point that we don't even notice we've become so enslaved. So enslaved by those things, we don't even have time or the presence of mind to stand in prayer or in worship of the one who has the power to set us free. What's got you most in its grip these days? What's enslaving you most? That's a good question for you to ask in this Advent season. Certainly the fear of what's going on in the world, like this scene from the bombings in Paris, all hell breaking loose there, that can enslave us in fear and self-protectiveness, not unlike Scrooge trying to lock every door behind him, right? And to lock out the world around him as if he could do that to keep all hell from breaking loose in his house. Or even in our families, you know? Sometimes the holiday dinners that should be Hallmark card scenes, we think, look more like this. Huh? And Jesus understood that this enslavement was all too easy to fall into, even for those who were his followers then, and even for those who are his followers today, us. So he said, yep, it's going to seem like all hell is breaking loose. In the world around you, and in your own lives, in the circumstances of your life. And he says, these things are always going to be happening. But don't allow yourself to get lost in them. Don't let yourself get distracted, whether it's with partying and drinking and shopping or whatever we use to lock ourselves up or protect ourselves or dull our senses from what's really happening from a God's eye view. In the midst of the threats, Jesus says to us, when you see these things taking place, stand up and raise your heads because what? Your redemption is drawing near. That's what the signs of the times mean. Jane Smiley, in her autobiography of Charles Dickens, I've been reading this last week, says this: the truth of A Christmas Carol that Dickens understood perfectly is that life is transformed by an inner shift of consciousness, not by a change of our circumstances out there, but by a change in here, in our hearts. Now, most of us have seen this Chinese word for crisis. It's a combination of danger and opportunity, right? So whenever you feel like all hell is breaking loose, right there is both danger and opportunity. The opportunity to be redeemed yet another time from whatever's enslaving you, whatever threatens to engulf you. It invites you who are already following Jesus to get back on track in this new season, fresh start time, to stand up and raise your heads, because even though you don't know how God's going to do it, He is coming. He's coming. He's coming. The Son of Man is coming to set you free from whatever has been enslaving you. So, we invite you to join us this holy season of Advent, of new beginnings, do-overs, to consider how Scrooge's story and our stories are intertwined. And if there's help for Scrooge, there's certainly help for us. And as it was true for Scrooge, it's true for us, help is already here. In the baptismal waters of redemption, in the bread and the cup of salvation, maybe in the simple lighting of just one candle at home on your Advent wreath, as you read and pray together, if you're quiet and you listen in that quiet, if you stay alert and pay attention you will be reminded through these signs of hope. Even as it seems that all hell is breaking loose, God's kingdom is near. In fact, it's here. Now, right now. So in this new season, stand up. Raise your heads. Because your redemption is drawing near.